It's 1 Corinthians 12, final verse we're starting at, which is page 1153 on the Church Bible. And there it is. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Oh yes, sorry. Maybe I'm getting older. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, I just pray, Lord, that you will now anoint Chris with your Holy Spirit, that you will fill him with your knowledge, with your peace, and that the words he speaks will be directed by your Spirit, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that his words will not come back fruitless, Lord, but every word that is spoken in honour of you, Lord, will be honoured and will be used for your glory and your kingdom, Lord. We exist for your glory and your glory alone, Lord. And we lay down our ambitions, we lay down anything of this that is about promoting ourselves, Lord. And we submit to you, Lord. We ask you to lead us with your tender, loving kindness. And Lord, you have appointed Chris to lead this church, this body of people in this place, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll give him your authority, that you'll give him your peace, your kindness, your protection, and that the words he speaks will be anointed by your Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Susan, for leading us to this point in the service. A couple of things. Once I forgot to mention, of course, James wasn't with the leaders that were up here, but he is one of our deacons and actually serving us at the moment as our treasurer. So I include him in our prayers for commissioning this morning. And bless him, he's also leading the children's work this morning. So he has a lot on his plate, doesn't he? So we do give thanks for James. And it's probably good just to say in front of you all, we also give thanks for Paul, who served as our treasurer for a few years until laying it down this year. So we thank God that he has provided those that we've needed in service. This morning I'm going to be speaking about the Holy Spirit and love. And you might think, well, why are we talking about that and not talking about the Ukraine? Well, because that's what I feel the Lord's given to me. And I think sometimes we can focus on what's happening out there that we can't do anything about, because that can be easier than focusing in here on those things that we have responsibility for. So that's why I'm going to bring you, well, I'm bringing you this morning. In our prayer time before the service, we gather before the service from about 9:45 until about 10:15. And in that time, I felt the Lord gave me a picture. And this was a picture. A canal and a river. And I said, well, what's that about? A canal and a river. What I felt the Lord was saying was, in a canal, you can control how much water goes down a canal. You can put lock gates in it. You can control the amount of flow and exactly where it goes. With a river, you can't control how much water flows through it, and it meanders around wherever it chooses to go. And I felt what he was saying was, I want my spirit to be a river, to have liberty to flow at the rate and where I choose it to flow, to flood at times, to change direction at times. So maybe you hear something that the Lord might be saying to you through that at this time, that God wants that freedom for his spirit to flow in a different way. Perhaps we've too much put a canal for the spirit. When the river flows in a canal, it can't feed the lands around it, whereas in a river it can bring blessing to the local community around. So I asked for that reading from the end of 1 Corinthians 12 right through to the beginning of chapter 14, because I think of all the Bible chapter breaks that there are, and they're not God-given, the Bible breaks, the chapters, they were a man's invention, that's the worst. The worst possible division of Scripture. Because it breaks the end of chapter 12 from the beginning of chapter 14. And that gives a false impression of what Paul's trying to say to us. So always hold those two pieces together in your mind and understand that the meat in the sandwich, chapter 13, all about love, is there for a reason between the two slices of bread about the gifts of the Spirit, the beginning and the end. So the Apostle Paul goes out of his way to describe that interconnectedness of spiritual gifts and love. Yet over and over again, I hear it taught that spiritual gifts are in opposition to love, as if they were alternatives, as if you could have the gift of love without the infilling of the Spirit. Actually, love isn't a gift. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, who is the same Spirit who gives us the gifts. They go together. You can't have one without the other, and one is ineffective without the other. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, etc. You've got a banner to remind you in case you've forgotten. Agape love, that unconditional, sacrificial love, is a fruit of the Spirit. It is not possible for human beings to love like that without the Spirit. We can't bear the fruit of the Spirit without the infilling of the Spirit. And we can't love in the way that Jesus calls us to apart from that gift that comes through the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Agape love, unconditional love, is precisely the sort of love that you can't give without the Spirit enabling you to do so. It's just not humanly possible. The Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So far too often we hear the first bit of that verse, and then people put a full stop in. The most excellent way, they say, is to follow the way of love, full stop. Paul never said that. He said the most excellent way, the way to live life to the full, is to eagerly desire spiritual gifts and follow the way of love. You need to do both of them, to follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. I've heard people asserting that we should not bother about spiritual gifts, we should just love one another, as if it's unloving to exercise the very gifts that the Spirit has given. That isn't what Paul is saying. So let's go back a couple of chapters to get the context. At the end of chapter 12, we read, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way." Then Paul goes on to speak about love and how ineffective spiritual gifts are without that agape love. "If I speak in the tongues of men, of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." So, tongues, prophecy, knowledge, faith, charity, even martyrdom are all ineffective without love. Then Paul returns to that most excellent way. The solution is not to choose love instead of exercising the gifts. The most excellent way is not to follow the way of love, full stop. The most excellent way is to follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. It is not unloving to speak in tongues, or prophesy, or share a word of knowledge, or exercise faith, or give to the poor, or be martyred. We are to eagerly desire these gifts and exercise them because we love, and we want the whole body to be built up. That's the reason that Paul says that the gift of tongues should be interpreted, so that the whole body can be built up. So we eagerly desire these gifts because we love and we want the body to be built up. So I shared this first part of the message with the church meeting, and next Sunday I'll be addressing this subject of gifts of the Spirit more broadly when we think about being a Spirit-filled fellowship. But this morning, I want to explore how we discern and grow in spiritual gifts. So first, how do we discern if a spiritual experience is a spiritual gift? How do we discern if it's a spiritual gift? Well, I'd like to use this verse as a template. It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. "For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Let me put it this way. When we receive a spiritual gift, it gives us boldness. The number of times that you see somebody who would never share a word, and with trembling, they stand up and say, "Oh, I don't know why, but God seems to have given me a picture. I don't know why I've got this word, but I've got to share it." And they're compelled by that boldness to stand and share what God has given to them. So that spiritual gift, it doesn't oppress us, doesn't leave us in guilt, can convict, but it doesn't leave us in guilt. It brings us to that place of being bold, to do what we wouldn't normally do. Secondly, it comes with power. The Spirit is more than just words, very relevant to our text, isn't it? It's also with action and truth. So the gifts of the Spirit, when they're given by God, have a powerful effect, far beyond the apparent worth that they have. So, you know, I shared a picture this morning about a river and a canal. It has no power, but with the Spirit of God behind it, it may change somebody's life to hear what God is saying into their hearts if they receive that as God's word to them. Thirdly, Of course, the spiritual gifts are motivated by and are the result of love and result in love. That is the purpose of spiritual gifts, that they're motivated by love and they result in love. So if you're operating a gift that you think might be a gift of the Spirit and it's leading you to be angry and frustrated, and what you're seeing around you is people being angry and frustrated with you, not gift of the Spirit. That's not what the Spirit comes to do. He comes to bring love to us and through us to the people around us. Self-discipline. Paul is clear that the spirit of the prophet is subject in the control of the prophet. In other words, we retain the right of veto. When the Spirit fills you and gives you a gift, you don't become lost in some spiritual experience that means that you're carried away to such an extent that you can't stop speaking. You may feel a very strong compulsion to speak, but you can still say no. So we have to cooperate with the Spirit, but equally we need to take responsibility for what we do under the anointing of the Spirit. Part of the purpose of Paul's letter to the Corinthians was to challenge those that were dominating meetings by always being the one who prayed out loud first or brought a word of prophecy, never leaving any space for others to exercise their gifts. Another part of self-discipline is testing our gifts, and calling with the body of Christ. It is easy for our hearts to delude us into thinking that what we want is what the Spirit wants, which is why we need the body of Christ. And we say, I think this might be a word from God. Test it. Test prophecies. See if it's from God. I think God may be calling me to do this. Do you agree? And if the body of Christ don't recognize that in us, then rejoice. Because if God hasn't called you to it, please don't do something, because it will not succeed unless the Lord is doing that work in and through you. So we need to need each other to test our prophecies and to test our sense of calling. And that's part of what it means to have orderly worship, as Paul says we should seek. So how do we grow in the gifts of the Spirit then, having discerned that it is a gift? Well, Paul says that we should eagerly desire the greater gifts, then later eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. The greater gifts, in Paul's opinion, are those which help to build up the church. Not all gifts are equal. This is what Paul says. There are greater gifts. All people are equal, but not all gifts are equal. Some are more helpful in building up the body of Christ. And he picks out prophecy, bringing that direct word from God. This is what I believe God is saying to us at this time, is more helpful than bringing a tongue, especially if that tongue isn't interpreted. So we grow in our maturity as we're able to come closer to bringing a direct word from God to the people of God. So Paul says that we should try to excel in those that build up the church. And building up, of course, doesn't just mean adding more people, although it includes that. It also includes drawing people to maturity in Christ. And prophecy is key in that process. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 2 to 5, it says this: for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries in the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but anyone who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Does that sound like someone who is trying to discourage people from using the gifts of the Spirit? No. The point is to desire the gifts which are most helpful to the church. That's what love brings us to do. A few verses later, in 1 Corinthians 14:39, he says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues." So, eager to prophesy, don't forbid speaking in tongues. This is what Paul has taught. So, having put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you by his Spirit. Praise God, what a miracle. He doesn't give you a little bit of his Spirit, and you a little bit of his Spirit, and you a little bit of his Spirit, and me a little bit of his Spirit. He lavishes his love upon us. Jesus says that the Father gives the Spirit without limit. Wow. We're talking about God. He gives the fullness of the Spirit to everyone who comes to believe in him. I can't see your faces, but I hope there's a big beaming smile behind every mask. God gives his fullness to everyone who believes in him. So the restriction is not on the supply of the Spirit, but on your capacity, on my capacity to receive the Spirit. I feel like I need to be a Pentecostal minister and say, can I get an amen there? Amen? Yes, so the restriction, I say it again, is not on the supply of the Spirit, but on our capacity to receive the Spirit. It's sometimes said, and it may well be true, that the reason we need to be filled again with the Spirit is that we leak. And I think there's some truth in that. But let me give you another analogy. Maybe the reason that we need to be filled again is because our capacity increases. The Holy Spirit comes along and he convicts us of wrong things in our life, of fears that prevent us from doing what God calls us to. Perhaps of an ego that stops us from just being humble and doing what God calls us to do. Perhaps of sin in our lives. And as we deal with those things, the Spirit transforms us. And then there's more ability for the Spirit to fill us and move in and through us. So, when we become Christians, we need to welcome the Spirit into our hearts. The second step is deal with stuff. Dealing with those things of which the Spirit convicts us. The third thing is to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. We are very English. And being English isn't a sin. No, it's not a sin. Although growing up in Wales, I was sometimes given that impression. It really isn't. But part of our characteristic is that we tend not to be eagerly desiring things. We tend to be more, oh, well, if you wouldn't mind, awfully. That's very kind of you. If you must. Not, yes. I want those gifts because I want to see God build up this church. And the only way it's going to happen is if each of us gets those gifts that God wants to use in and through us. I want those gifts, Lord. I'm going to pray for it in my quiet time. I'm going to then try and exercise that gift that God's given. I'm going to take that bold step of believing that God will give me gifts. And then humbling myself under the testing of the body of Christ. Being prepared to get it wrong several times so that I can continue to grow in those gifts. Eagerly desiring, especially the greater gifts like prophecy. Step four, excelling in those gifts that we've been given in order to build up the church. As we do this, we will not always get it right because we've not yet attained the fullness of the measure of Christ. If we had, we would no longer need the gifts of the Spirit. And it's sometimes argued, well, we've moved beyond the need of the gifts of the Spirit now because we've got the Bible. Paul nowhere says, when you've got the Bible, you won't need the gifts of the Spirit. What he says is, when you have reached the full maturity of the stature of Christ, you'll no longer need spiritual gifts. Do you think we're there yet? No. So we still need the gifts of the Spirit. Because we're going to get things wrong, we have to test prophecies. You need to test what I'm telling you today. You need to test it against what the Scripture says and what the Spirit's saying to you. Test prophecy, hold on to the good, rejecting every kind of evil. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 to 22. We'll need to submit to each other, and especially our leaders, recognizing that we can get it wrong as leaders and we can get it wrong as individuals. We also need to keep on encouraging each other to eagerly desire spiritual gifts and exercise the gifts we've been given in self-disciplined ways. Paul told Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. So the gifts are available to all believers. Those who eagerly desire them, exercise those that they have, and fan into flame the gift of God, continue to grow in them and bear much fruit. As we covenant together today, can I respectfully challenge you to go on being filled with the Spirit, then to follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that through the Apostle Paul, you brought us the most excellent way. It's so simple to sum up in one sentence, so hard to live out. We admit before you that without the infilling of your Spirit again today, we don't have the ability to do that. But we humbly come to you and we pray, fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Increase our capacity to receive Holy Spirit, that we might boldly use the gifts that you give to grow the body of Christ. Amen.